To two or three people, welcome them to Word of Life Church this morning. Amen. So glad to have each and every one of you here with us. I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 23, a famous psalm. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. I want to bring out a different part of it. On the screens, if you can go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 in your Bible, Psalms 23. On the screens, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our happy, good-looking ushers will be in the aisles right now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. And of course, you can feel free to use a portable electronic device and search the scriptures that way as well. If you don't have a Bible at all, you can take one of ours and take it home with you. Make it your very own. Psalms chapter 23. We were on a series entitled The Helper, and I felt impressed in my heart to move that series to Wednesday nights. And we're going to cover the subject of the Holy Spirit line by line and just verse by verse in those sessions. If you're not familiar with our Wednesday night service, it's 7 o'clock every Wednesday night. And I'll be doing the next couple of ones. We have this Wednesday, well, I'll be continuing that series, The Helper. Then the next Wednesday will be our first Wednesday, July 3rd. And we'll do a time and a night of worship. And then we'll finish up the month of July continuing this series of The Helper, unless the Lord leads us in a different way. We're going to talk about things like being filled with the Holy Spirit, what that means to you, what that can mean to your life. And I really want to get a good teaching on it. And so with that, I want to invite every one of you to come out to our Wednesday night services. But especially for this series, I think it will be a blessing to you. Before I got into the series, The Helper, the Lord was leading me a couple across some scriptures and just bringing some scriptures across my path. And it was scriptures dealing with words like renew, restore, and refreshed. All throughout the Bible, it tells us that we, you and me, need to be renewed, we need to be restored, and we need to be refreshed. Let's look at a couple this morning. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord, He is my shepherd, and I shall not want." How many of you know the Lord will take care of you? Amen. He's your shepherd. You shall not want. He maketh me, verse 2, to lie down in green pastures. Now notice this next part. We've been talking about this in these past couple of messages on Sundays. He leadeth me. He will lead me beside the still waters, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But they that wait on the Lord..." Well, you know what? Let's go up to verse 30 and then go to verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 30. It says, "Even the youths, the young men, the young women, they'll grow faint and will be weary. And young men shall utterly fall," verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Notice that, your strength, it needs to be renewed. When's the last time your strength was renewed? If I asked you, when's the last time you filled your car up with gas? I'm sure you'd be able to tell me, because you did it on purpose, right? And it's the same thing with this. When's the last time your strength was renewed? You should be able to tell me, because it's impossible to renew your strength unless you renew your strength on purpose. Now, notice, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they will run, and they won't be weary. And they will walk, and they will not faint." Imagine a life where you're never weary. This is what God wants for you. A life where you're so living out of your overflow of the strength He is providing you, that you're never weary, that you're never tired, that you're never growing faint. And he says that if you try to do this in your own natural strength, no matter how old you are, young you are, or how old you are, you're going to grow weary, you're going to faint. But if you will learn how to renew your strength, then you can live a life where you're never weary and you're never going to a place where you feel like you're about to faint. In Psalms 23, it's one of my favorite Psalms, and there's so many promises in there that I'd always used to claim. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My cup runneth over. Sitting in the presence of enemies, and the Lord's feeding me and blessing me in that place. All of those wonderful types of things. But one of the things I never really majored on was Him restoring my soul. And a couple of years ago, I preached a message actually on this scripture. And the Lord dealt with me that the soul, and we talked about this a couple of Sundays ago, it's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, if you've lived long enough, you know what I'm about to say is truth. Don't you think that those things get taxed almost daily? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if that is not restored, it's a dangerous thing because your soul is your decider. You've got to learn how to renew and restore your soul. You've got to learn how to renew and restore and refresh your strength. A couple of years ago, around Christmas time, which is always a busy time in a church, but I think for all of us during the Christmas time season, our life takes on sometimes little added dimensions of living. There's places to go, people to see, all of those types of things. So I had all of that going on during this time, but I also was preaching every weekend and Wednesday nights as well. And then I also owned a media company. And for this particular media company that I was co-owner of, we did websites and architectural renderings and all those kinds of things, ad campaigns. And I engaged in a business deal with a preacher friend of mine, and he was wanting just a complete redo of all his ministry stuff. And we gave him a pretty good price, but it was a pretty big project. It was about $16,000. And we had done the website for him, and he called me one day and said, you know, I saw this other website that I really, really liked, and I'd like to have that as my website. Well, that's very frustrating. It happens a lot in the media industry. People don't realize that when you build a website, it's kind of like building a house. And if you came to a contractor and said, I want a 3-bedroom house and I want it bricked and I want a kitchen done this way and bathroom done that way, and they built you that house, and then you came back to them and said, you know what, I don't really want that house. I saw another house over here that I really, really liked. I want you to build a house that way, and I don't want to pay for the house I otherwise built, because we have employees and things like that. You have to pay. So it was that kind of deal, and man, I tell you what, that stress was just weighing on me because they didn't quite understand it, and you're trying to deal with that as a company. And also during that time, we were just engaging in building this facility. So I've got a lot of things going on. And one day I come into the office and it is just a boiling point. Have you ever had a boiling point before? I mean, oh, come on now. You know you have. You know you have. And with this, it was just on this particular day, it felt like all of those things at one time just kind of came to a head. They just all kind of bubbled to the surface. And I'm telling you what, I'm feeling it. I am feeling it in my body. I'm feeling it in my mind. I'm feeling it all over me. And I'm just tense. I can feel it. And I'm walking out to go home. And that night at our house, we were holding our staff Christmas party, which was another thing that you had to get ready for. One more thing you have to do, you know, that kind of thing. And my brother-in-law met me at the door and he told me something about the building or something like that. And I tell you what, I snapped. and I was very, very aggressive with my words. And I am not that way. I mean, you can ask my wife, I am the most even-keeled person you have ever met. I mean, I'm not overly emotional. I'm very, very just steady in that way. And it actually scared me when I did it, because I knew the whole time I'm doing it, this is not me. And right after it, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I've just got a lot of things going on. I've just got a lot of things I'm trying to manage and process. And I said, just please forgive me. And I got in my car and I drove to my house. And we had the staff Christmas party that night. And my wife asked me, she said, I've got to go back and finish putting on makeup and that kind of thing. Can you take the lasagnas out of the oven when they beep? And so I thought, oh, sure, I can do that. And so, sure enough, the timer went off, and I opened up the oven and pulled the lasagna out, and I put on just one oven mitt. I wasn't thinking, you know, I just put on one oven mitt. And they were in, you know, kind of those tin foil pans, you know, the lasagna. So it's not very sturdy, so you can't just grab it with one hand. You're going to have to grab it with two. Well, I wasn't thinking. I lowered the oven, and I grabbed the deal. And as soon as I grabbed it, I realized it's about to give way, and this lasagna is about to go all over the floor, and the staff is going to have nothing to eat. All of this processed in my mind in like half a second. And so without thinking, I reach up and grab it with my other hand. And it just burns my hand a little bit, and I kind of sling it over on the countertop. I saved the lasagna, though. I did. I saved the lasagna. And I shut the door, and I went back to where my wife was, and the staff was about to get there. I looked at my wife. I said, I can't do this. I said, you've got to go entertain for a minute. I've got to just sit for a minute. And so she went out there and entertained. I went and got in the shower, just trying to wash it away. And when I got in the shower, I prayed, and this was my prayer. Lord, what in the world is wrong with me? What is wrong? Have you ever had a prayer like that? What is wrong with me? And not just then, but over the next couple of days, the Lord dealt with me that I had depleted myself. Do you know that you can't just run forever without replenishing yourself? We know that physically, that, you know, you got to take time to sit and eat and drink water. But you know you have to do the same thing spiritually? Do you know that a strong spirit can bear up under anything, but a wounded spirit can't bear stuff up? Did you know that your soul can be taxed to the place where you're making decisions not rationally, but you're making them just repulsively? And it's causing you to make wrong decisions, snapping at the kids, snapping at the husband, snapping on the job, snapping at a client. And the Lord really, really dealt with me that I always needed to live a restored, renewed, strong life. It's one thing to be in the heat of a battle and realize you need to pull away and rest. It's a whole nother thing to go into a battle rested. And what so many people do is they can sense tension, they can sense these, and we need a vacation. But you know what's better before that? If you take the vacation before the battle, if you get rested before the battle, you'd breeze right through the battle and you wouldn't even know it was a battle, because you're rested, you're restored, you are built up. And over the process of time, the Lord really dealt with me about three things I'm going to talk to you about today to make sure that I never got that way again, and I've never gotten that way again. The title of this sermon is called Sharpen the Saw. You know the story. You've heard, like, Abraham Lincoln, if I had 7 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening the saw. Yeah, you've heard things like that. You've heard the lumberjack stories and all of that kind of thing. But the gist of it is you could work with a sharp saw, but eventually that saw or that axe is going to get dull the more you work with it. And it could get so dull that you're trying to work, but your work is not producing very much results, because you're not taking the time to kind of pull back from work and sit down and just sharpen yourself. Here's how you sharpen your saw. Here's point number one. Point number one. I'm going to give you 3 points. Point number one, rest. Rest. Go to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 31. And on the screens, if you can go to John chapter 18 and verse 1. On the screens in your Bibles, Exodus 31 and verse 12. Point number one, rest. Now, you know the story of the Ten Commandments, right? You know that in the New Testament, we have one commandment, that's to love our God and love others. But just the commandment of love is the New Testament commandment. In the Old Testament, they had ten commandments that they had to keep. They had to keep a watchful eye on. And we're all very familiar with the Ten Commandments. And I know that people say, well, we've been redeemed from that. But how many of you know it'd still be a good idea to keep the Ten Commandments? It'd be good for society. It'd be good for churches. It'd be good for us in general. Here, I'll read them to you. And when I read the commandments to you, you can just kind of agree with me inwardly. Or you can actually talk in this church. You can say, yes, it'd still be a good idea to keep these Ten Commandments. I'll read them to you. And then you tell me if you think it'd still be a good idea for us to keep them. So the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before him. I mean, that'd still be a good idea for you. It's still a good idea. Even in the New Testament, still a good idea to have no other gods before him. The next one, have no graven images. How many of you know it'd be a good idea for you as a Christian not to have a little Buddha in your house? I mean, that'd be a positive thing, right? It'd be a positive thing for you. It'd be a positive thing for me if I came over to your house to see you didn't have a Buddha. The next one, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. How many of you know that one's still important to do? I'll give you another one. Honor your father and your mother. Yeah, it's a commandment with promise. It'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Still a good idea to do that. Here's a good one. Don't kill people. Just don't kill people. That's still, you'd like to get on the news and remind the people that it's good not to kill people. It's just good not to murder. So with this, the next one, don't commit adultery. Still a great idea, right? I mean, still a great idea. Don't steal. We'd all agree with that. If you've ever been stolen from, it'd be a good idea for people not to steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. It's still a good idea for you. Spank your kids for it. I mean, don't lie. You know it's good not to lie. And don't covet. It's good not to live a life of covetousness. Now, with all of those, because there's one more, with all of those, we would say it'd still be a fantastic idea to make sure we do those things. How many of you know just a little bit violation of thou shalt not kill could have some serious repercussions in your life? I mean, just a little bit. Just a little bit of it. Well, I could have a couple of gods before him. No, it'd still be a really good idea for you not to do that. So we would all say that, right? But you know, there's another commandment, and that's to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And for some people, they'd say, yeah, it's probably still a good idea. But so many people don't. Let's read about what the Sabbath really is. Let's look at it in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 31. And let's look here in verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Isn't that something? God speaks and people hear. Yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. It's holy unto you. To you it is holy. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Aren't you glad you don't live in the Old Testament? For whosoever there doeth any work, now notice that, any work therein, that shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15, key verse. 6 days you may work, and may work be done. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of what? Rest. And it's holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep this Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for it is a perpetual covenant. That word perpetual means never ending. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he, what? And was what? Refreshed. Here's what God says. All right, here's a commandment. Work 6 days, but make sure you rest one. For emails from work. You're not sending out text about work. Well, someone says, well, it's emergency. Well, if your business is burning down, go take care of it. But you get what I'm saying here, that with this, it means that you retire for a day from work. Now, I know some people have 6 Sabbaths and 1 day of work. So that's not for you. Don't say, well, No. This is for people who are working. And so with this... You and I, we need a day of rest. A day of rest. Are you taking one? Are you helping your spouse take one? I'm going to meddle a little bit, just a smidge. I know the Lord dealt with me about this with my wife, that I needed to help her do more around the house so that she could have a day of rest. Now, here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. I heard Bob Harrison say this in his defense series. He said, when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. But you know what I found just in pastoring? That's not the only thing that walks out. Do you know when fatigue walks in, love starts to walk out? Oh, you know it's true. You ever come home real tired and come home to a big mess and you had more work to do? And didn't you feel like you were just a little bit more on edge on those days than on others? Because when fatigue walks in, other good things start to walk out. When fatigue walks in, creativity starts to walk out. My best ideas always come when I'm rested. When fatigue walks in, joy and peace, they're hard to maintain. And you have to see that if I am giving out a lot of energy every day, I need to make sure I'm keeping some energy on reserve. I heard Bob Harrison talk about this in that series. He said that his wife had cancer and they went to a nutritionist. And the nutritionist told his wife that your immune system is only operating at 5%. And he said, if you keep going, 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 and you never keep energy in your body for it to heal itself, it never will. So he said, you need to take an energy journal. How much are you taking in versus how much is going out? Because he said, when energy is coming in into your body, healing is being restored to you. But when energy is going out of your body and more energy is going out than you're taking in, it's a path that leads to destruction. So I want to ask you that. How much energy are you taking in versus how much are you giving out? You need a day of rest. In the Old Testament, it was dealt with harshly. And you saw it here that if anyone violated the Sabbath, didn't have a day of rest, they should be put to death. Now, any punishment that you link heavy punishment to a specific action, it's because you want to discourage people from taking that action. Am I right? That's why you would punish your kids for doing something, because you want to discourage them from taking that action again. And the reason why God was so adamant on it, and he'd even carried a death penalty, is because if you violate it, it leads to death. It leads, if I continually work, continually burn the candle at both ends, eventually there will be no candle left. And I want to encourage you, each and every one of you, to take a day of rest. Now, if you can't get a day, take whatever time you can take, but you need to rest. Notice the scripture in John chapter 18 and verse 1. This was actually the scripture that the Lord dealt with me about to start this series. It said, and when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth to the disciples over the book of Cedron, a C word, and where there was, notice, a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Well, no big deal, right? He went into a garden. Okay, but read the next scripture, verse 2. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Well, how did Judas know the place? For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither. Thither's a great word. You should use thither in a sentence this week. It's a great word, dramatically underused. Jesus oftentimes, notice, resorted thither with his disciples. Jesus resorted often. Often. Now, Jesus had 3 years to get his work done. 3 years. But even in all this work, he still often pulled away from the work and resorted. Are you? There are people who have told me for years, we need to take a family vacation. I can just tell we need a vacation. We need it. 5 years running, we need a vacation. We need a vacation. Well, somebody, well, I'm not really tired. That's just it. You don't want to get tired. When's the best time to fix a leaky roof? Before it rains. And so with this, take time to rest your body. God designed it for rest. Are you giving it what it needs? Here's the second point. Not only rest, but rebalance. Rebalance. Now, on your day of rest, I encourage you to do this. Or in your time of rest, or in your hour of rest, or on your vacation of rest. Take the time to rebalance. Whenever life gets out of balance, that's when people get tired. You have me time, time for myself, we time, time with others that God has placed in your life. You have work time, time at work, and then you have God time. When those things are operating in harmony, me time, we time, God time, work time, life begins to flourish. But what happens is life will have a tendency to get you out of balance. It's like, I use this example a good bit, if any of you own a car, is there not times where your car gets out of alignment? Maybe you hit a bump in the road and your car got out of alignment. What's the only way to get it in alignment? You got to take the time to stop the car and realign it. And the same thing is true with life. In life, you're going to go through some things at work. You're going to go through some things in family. You're going to go through some things. And your life starts to major on those things. Could be a particular job at work. It could be a particular relative that the enemy's just working through to cause things to come up. And you're majoring on that. Even with your kids, your mind is still working on it. It's majoring on it. And whenever life begins to get out of balance, that's when we start to lose our joy, lose our peace, lose our energy. You've got to rebalance. Is your life balanced currently? Currently, is your life balanced between me time, we time, work time, and God time? I heard a story about a guy. I read it in a book this week. It was about a particular writer who had been pretty successful. And he was going through a period of writer's block, and he had a deadline. And that creates stress. I've had that happen to me before. You know, you got to preach, and you're just waiting on the Lord to give you the word to say. And with that happens, it can sometimes be pretty stressful, especially when you're ministering to a lot of people. Or for him, you got a book deadline. And so with that, the book deadline's coming up and he can't break through this writer's block. And so he went to go see a doctor to see if the doctor could give him any advice on how to calm down and be at peace, all of these things. And the doctor said, there's no medicine I can give you. But he said, I'll give you a prescription nonetheless. I'll give you something to do. And he said, tell me, what's your favorite place to go to, your most restful place? And the guy said, well, the beach. The beach is my most restful place. He said, okay, great. Just wait right here. And he goes into his office, the doctor does, and he writes out 4 prescriptions. And he tells the guy, when you get to the beach, whenever you get there, tomorrow would be a good day. take out these prescriptions, take one out at 9, take another one out at 12, take another one out at 3, and take another one out at 6. Stay there all day. That kind of goes back to point number one. Take a day of rest. And so he said, okay, doc, I'll do it. And he said, will this really work? And this kind of thing. He said, well, I'm charging you for it, so hopefully it will, because you're paying for this time. So anyway, he went to the beach the next day. And he pulled out at 9 o'clock one that said, listen quietly. Talking about rebalance. Listen quietly. So he sat at the ocean and just started listening. And at first he heard the noise of the birds and the ocean and kids playing, all of those things. But then steadily life began to get a little bit quieter. He started listening to his heart. And before he knew it, 12 o'clock came around and he pulled out the next prescription. And it said, give thanks slowly. You know, what in the world could that mean? Give thanks slowly. He said, well, I just figure I should go over the things that I'm thankful for and slowly think about them and slowly give thanks. Isn't it easy to just run right past the things we should be giving thanks for? Kids playing in our house, the house the Lord has blessed us with. I opened up the Wall Street Journal yesterday morning and saw a picture of two ladies in Bangladesh. And I looked at my house and I looked at my life and I look at where I work compared to where they work. And just how many times do we just run right past the blessings that the Lord has given us and live an ungrateful life? Give thanks slowly. The third thing, he finally did that and got over to 3 o'clock. And the third one was, examine your motives. Examine your motives. Why am I pursuing what I'm pursuing? Why am I trying to get this book written? Why am I trying to meet this deadline? Is it just for money? And he said, first, this process was pretty painful. Why am I living the way I'm living? Why is my life balanced the way it's been balanced? What are my motives? And he said, you know what? I realized that when it really came down to my motives getting clearer, the things that I was living for, I shouldn't have been living for. I was just living to get this book written, living to make this next paycheck or else they're not going to pay me. He said, I wasn't trying to add value to people. I wasn't trying to serve or help my fellow man. I wasn't enjoying my wife or kids because I'm dealing with the stress of this deadline. I wasn't having a personal relationship with the Lord. I love the Lord, but I wasn't giving Him any time. He said, I realized I needed to put my life back into balance. And the fourth one was, write your worries in the sand. And I love that. Just write it in the sand because the water's going to come and wash them away. He said the next day he woke up just rejuvenated, just restored, just refreshed, and he got that book done. But here's my point. Here's my point. How oftentimes do you slow down life enough to ask yourself, am I living a balanced life? Am I having, and sometimes some of us, not all of us, but some of us need to pull away and get a little me time where you need some time, play time, you need a little me time. But a lot of people, we major on work and God is over here saying, hey, what about me? And the family's over here, your wee time, and they're saying, what about me? Don't be the guy or the girl who wakes up one day and says, you know what, I got all this, but I don't have anyone to share it with. And my relationship here, it's struggling. My relationship over here, it's struggling. Don't be that guy. Now, here's principle. The third principle. Number one, rest. Number two, rebalance. And number three, renew. Renew. I go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll close with this. Oh, you guys are listening so good. Ephesians. Well, you know, let's let the screens go to Ephesians and you go to Acts. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And on the screens, if you can go to Ephesians 5 and verse 26. On the screens, Ephesians 5, verse 26. In your Bibles, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. How do you renew? All right. Now, we talked about rest. We talked about rebalance. Those are things that would be good for you to do weekly. Rebalance when you rest and make sure you're living a balanced life. But this is something renew that I'm not kidding when I say this. It needs to be done daily. Daily. You need to renew yourself daily. Let's read actually Ephesians 5 and verse 26. This is the first habit to renew. This is a habit, a daily habit, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The word is likened unto washing you. Any of you have kids? Any of you have kids? Okay, yeah, you got kids. So, or you've had kids. Oh, if you haven't had any kids, you've been a kid once. You were a kid once. Every one of you were a kid. You remember getting dirty? Just get outside and you get a little bit dirty. And you weren't even trying to get dirty. You just got dirty. I mean, it's amazing how dirty kids can get without even trying to get dirty. And they walk in dirty. What do you have to do almost daily? Wash them. And how many of you, we have a 5 and 6 year old, so sometimes we'll let them go wash themselves and they'll stay in for like 30 seconds and run right out and they still got soap all over them and shampoo in there. And it's like, no, you didn't get finished. This is not just something you run to and do for like 30 seconds. You got to spend some time on this. And here we see from scriptures that the word washes you. See, in your life and in mine, you pick stuff up. You don't even realize you picked it up, just like your kids don't even realize they're getting dirty. They don't know they have dirt on their shoes. That's why they keep running in with it. They don't realize it because they've been in dirt the whole day. And a lot of times we bring things into our families like anger because we've been in anger all day. And a lot of times we bring things into our household like stress because we've been in stressful environments all day. And a lot of times we'll bring in things like concern and unforgiveness because something happened during the day and we didn't notice it when it was happening, so we actually brought it in with us. The word washes you from that. You need time in your Bible. You need to be washed by the word. James says the word of God, it's like a mirror. Any of you spending time in the mirror this morning? Some of you more than others, I guarantee it, right? Right. Some of you spent a little bit more time in the mirror than others. Why don't you get in the mirror? Because you knew if you didn't, there'd be some things you didn't see about yourself that if you got in the mirror, you would see, right? And the word is likened unto a mirror that you behold your face in. And when you behold in this mirror, you see, I could change this. I could improve this. It shows up unforgiveness. It shows up. For me, the other day, Luke chapter 10, I was in my devotional. I read the story of the Good Samaritan, how the Good Samaritan was stopping for people. He stopped for someone where the religious people just kept going to their destination. The Lord dealt with me. You're not stopping enough. You're so focused on where you're going. Stop. There's some people you need to minister to. There's some people you need to be with. There's some people you need to impart some things to. Don't just get so focused on. I never would have seen that had I not gotten in the Word. The Word, it's a mirror. Daily, get in it. Second principle, though. Second principle. Second thing. Don't only get in the Word daily, but worship daily. Let's read this here in Acts chapter 3. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Where do I get times of refreshing? I get those times in His presence. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Saul, first king of Israel. And he started off so young and pure. I mean, he was such a good guy. Just pure, just such a good guy. Humble. But over the process of life, he picked things up. He picked something up. And it began to contaminate his soul because he never dealt with it. His two biggest issues were covetousness and jealousy. And these two things just got on him and then got in him. It's a dangerous, if you get it on you, you just wash it off. If it gets in you, you need some help. And he couldn't get free from it. And this thing that before wasn't a big deal now began to torment him. And that's what happens when we've got things in our life that we know we need to wash off, or we don't even know it's there anymore, and it begins to contaminate us. And the only thing that could fix it, the only thing that could fix it was David. David came in the room where Saul was and began to worship the Lord. And as he began to worship, Saul began to get free. The problem was, is Saul really loved hearing David worship, because when David worshiped, Saul got free. But Saul never became a worshiper. There's a big difference between enjoying worship and being a worshiper. Did you know that the first part of this service is not the singing part? It's not the singing part of the service. It's the worship part. It's the time that where if you really engage with it, you can sense a refreshing. You can sense a washing, because this is not a concert. This is worship. And with that, it's designed to purify you. And some of you, you love that. But are you more like Saul? Are you more like David? Are you living more like Saul? Or are you living more like David? Saul really loved worship when David worshiped, and he got free from it, but he never became a worshiper. And Saul died bound. Friends, I want to encourage you. There's some things that only worship can fix about you. Only worship can fix it about you. There's some things only worship can wash away. Worship daily. Get in your word daily. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by worship? I just mean real simple. At some part during your day, I try to do it the first thing when I wake up, and then secondly, when I get home. When I get home, I want to worship because I'm about to engage with my family and I want to be refreshed. And it's just taking a couple of minutes or maybe even 30 seconds and just lifting up your hands and saying, oh God, I love you. I'm so thankful for what you blessed me with. I'm so thankful that you've been so patient with me. I'm so thankful you've been good to me. I'm so thankful that you've given me a home to come home to. You've given me a wife. You've given me children. Let me be the man I can be to them. Let me be strong physically. Let me be stalwart spiritually. Let me be sharp mentally and soft emotionally for my family. Lord, I worship you. I thank you. And just that alone, I can sense it right now. Just that alone, it refreshes you. The word refresh in the Old Testament just means to take a breath. Just, do you know if you live life only breathing out, you're not going to live very long? Take a breath. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray.